the enthusiasm that we have seen when Brother Harmon was here from going to Tanzania, and you could almost tell that he wanted to go tomorrow. And yet he had to raise the support. And we think of Jonathan Booker going to Israel and the Childs going to South Africa and Micah and Emily going to China. And we just think, wow, the enthusiasm. We need to help them get there. We need to help them be able to go and do what the Lord has called them to do. And as we have this service today, and as we take pledges, and maybe that's not the right word, commitments that you're going to give to missions throughout the next year, we need to realize that time is short. And as we have said before, one out of one dies. One out of one. And then the judgment. And I'd ask you to pray, and I've asked you to do this. Pray what the Lord would have you do. Don't just say, well, this will fit into my budget. No, pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you want me to do? Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And because you are so talented, I'd like you to also turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 22. That's Isaiah 6. And Ezekiel chapter 22. Again, thank you for your part in the 2018 mission conference. I've had people say, we need to have two mission conferences in a year. Well, right now we have one. And on behalf of the Covenant Baptist Church and our ongoing worldwide mission program, thank you for giving. For without your gifts, this battle would be incomplete. Thank you for caring about world evangelism. Eternal dividends will be ours. Last night, Brother Jones was talking about the fact that his dad went out to start works in Mexico, and many works have been begun between C.L. Jones and now his son Danny. And he was talking about how one went out as a missionary to another country, and that church was begun there, and now they have sent out another missionary out of that work, and we think to ourselves, dividends, souls being saved because people cared enough to send C.L. Jones. And who knew when that man went out with his wife, what would be accomplished? Thank you for praying. Praying for the safety of our missionaries. Pray for those that are representing us around the world. Pray that they will remain strong physically. It's amazing how many of our missionaries have health issues. Especially how many of the female missionaries have health issues. Pray for them physically, pray for them emotionally, pray for their mentally, morally, and most importantly, spiritually. And in this day and age, we really need to pray for their protection. Protection. Thank you for your partnership. It takes all of us in a multifaceted mutual partnership to carry out this undertaking. It's not a one-man job. It takes all of us together. Thank you for staying the course. Most of you have given to missions for many years, and this is a testimony to your love for that which touches the heart of God. If you would, let's stand together as we read from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we see these words, we find that one was willing to go. And Lord, we know that today for one to go, others must help send. Help us, Lord, that if we are not willing to go, help us to send. Help us, the Lord, to hold the ropes of those who have gone out. Help us, Lord, to do that which is right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The book of Ezekiel 22. Do you still have that? Remember, I asked you to turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, one verse. There were inquiring words found there in Isaiah, but there are sad words found here in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. You may have it underlined in your Bible. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But what? I found none. I sought for a man that should stand in the gap, but I found none. May that not be said of us, that there was a gap that we were not willing to fill. May we as a church and as families and individuals be willing to stand in the gap by our willingness to give and to support those who have said, send me. The book of Matthew chapter 20 verse 28, Jesus speaking says, even the Son of Man came to minister. Jesus Christ, who was going to die for our sins while he was here, ministered. Amen. You have been, you are, and I trust will continue to be a member in the Partnership for Global Evangelism. I know that there are many in our society, in our world, that want to squash the Christian voice. They say it's all right within your walls to proclaim it, but folks, we got to do it more than just within our walls. We need to do it within the walls of our own homes, and then to the homes of family members and friends and neighbors. Would you please turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Some great thoughts to this church at Galatia. And I can imagine as the letter arrived and it was said that it was from the Apostle Paul, and we're going to read the letter tonight. And I can see the body of believers gathering together to read this. Now, can you imagine what the Apostle Paul could have done with today's technology? Hello? Can you imagine? But let's begin reading at verse 7, Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us remain focused. Focused. March Madness is here. There is something about the enthusiasm of these young men as they gather to play basketball with the hopes of becoming the champion at the very end. And of course, we're rooting for our home state colleges, and we hope they do well. And I presume they're still in the hunt. Am I right? Are they still there? Good, good. But they need to remain focused. They need to remain focused on their next opponent. They need to realize, yes, there's another game beyond this, but this is the game we must win. Folks, we must remain focused on the fact that people are dying and going to hell. A lot of churches have stopped preaching that there is a hell. They preach there is a heaven, but folks, people aren't going to heaven unless they know Jesus Christ. And how are they going to know about Jesus Christ if there isn't one that takes the word? We need to remain focused. We do not want to get sidetracked. We don't want to be sidetracked. It's so easy to begin looking at other things. But it's important that as a church that we continue to send forth the gospel, and all of us need to do this. Let us remain faithful until the course is run. All of us have a course, so we need to run it. I can't run your course. I'm having a hard time running my own course right now. But there is something to be done, and we need to do what is needed. In the year 2001, boy, that goes back a while, doesn't it? Claudine Hartman, a former member of our church, made a mission poster, 2001, and she had on it this verse, Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. What joyful sound? That Jesus saves. That Jesus saves, and they can know Christ as their Savior also. A number of years ago, Lisa Lewis showed up. Young lady going to Togo. You may remember she came in with all these things that said to go. Togo. And she had within her video presentation a number of children, and they were asking her different questions. And one of the questions was, how long have you known this? Known what? That Jesus saves. A young child in Togo wanted to know how long she had known that Jesus saves, and why was she just now coming? How long have we known that Jesus saves, and we haven't shared it with anybody? Why do we continue? Well, number one, there's the command from above, Matthew chapter 28. You know you have a mission conference, you have to go at least one time to Matthew chapter 28, right? Matthew chapter 28, we'll begin reading at verse 19. The command from above was go. And it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Go. Go. Go to China. Go to South Africa. Go to Tanzania. Go to Mexico. Go to India. Go. Go. Well, obviously, we can't all go to every one of these places, but we can send those that are willing to go. I have said this before. We could take all our mission money and give it to missionaries that were only going to Brazil. Would that be enough just for Brazil? It would not. It would not. Go. There's the cry from beneath the book of Luke, if you would, please. The book of Luke, chapter 16. We know the story. It's the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus had nothing, and the rich man had everything, and he lived a sumptuous life. And the rich man dies, and the Bible tells us that while he was in hell, he had a conversation with Abraham. And in verse 27, we see these words, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Send somebody. Send. I'm going to tell you this, that when someone gets to hell, they're going to wish they had accepted Christ as their Savior. But they're also going to wish that somebody would go to their family members and tell them, don't come here. We're not sitting around a table playing cards, drinking beer. We're not having a good time. My opinion is that when you're in hell, you're there all by yourself. Now, you may hear the screaming and the torment of others, but you're by yourself with your memory. With your memory. Send somebody that they don't come here. Go ye, send. Then there's the call from without. Acts, if you would, the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. Acts 16 verse 9. Last night, Brother Jones was talking about the fact that he had spent many years in Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico, and it was decided that it was time for him to move into the States, and he was going to be doing ministry there in the Rio Grande Valley. And he said he really didn't want to go, but the Lord worked it out that he just moved him there. But there was a family there that wanted him to come and start a church. Do you remember what happened there at a pizza parlor there in, he broke a tooth. And it was going to take a while for the tooth to be repaired. And he decided, well, since I'm already here, I might as well do something. Don't make the Lord break your tooth. But notice what it says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. Acts 16 verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. And what? Help us. Help us. There are those right now in San Clemente, they don't know it, but they need help. Young family's going to go. There are those in India who India has plenty of religion. I'll be honest with you, they've got more religion and stronger beliefs than many Christians. I mean, they have lots of religion, but religion will not get you into heaven. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many services you attend. Religion won't do it. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And how shall they hear unless somebody be sent? We have to send them. We don't want to drop the ball, as one of our missionaries said this week. So there's the call from without. Then we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I thought, what does that mean, constraineth us? It means to clasp tightly so that one does not wander from the task. That one does not wander from the task. How many of you are good at multitasking? You admit, you're good at it. A few of you. Have you ever been at home and it's clean the house day? And so you start in the kitchen and you have to take something from the kitchen and put it where it belongs, back in maybe one of the bedrooms. And when you get to the bedroom, you put down whatever it is and you start another task. But the kitchen isn't done yet. And so you work there in the bedroom and then you move back to the kitchen and you're doing something else and, oh, I gotta do this. And you wander over to the bathroom to do a couple of things in the bathroom. Have you ever just been wandering around? Praise God when it's all done, right? When everything is done. But you know what happens a lot of times? It's half done in the kitchen, half done in the bathroom, half done in the bedroom. I'm not trying to get any of you under conviction here, folks. I mean, I don't want you to go home and start cleaning up, well, unless it has to be done. but we wander around. How many Christians are wandering around? There's a job to be done. There's a job. And all of us have a task. And we can help our missionaries in two ways. One is in prayer. It's amazing how many mission letters I get that it doesn't say, pray for us. How many do you think says, don't pray for us? I've never had one say, well, don't pray for us. You know what they all say? Pray for us or thank you for praying for us. They want our prayers. But for them to get there, they have to be sent. They have to be sent. I guarantee you the government of India is not going to support the Quinn family. They're just not. I don't care how many nice letters you send to them, they're not going to support you. And can you imagine the state of California supporting the Jennies? Do you think the governor is waiting for you with open arms? Is he going to come and say, hey, no. San Clemente is not a cheap place to live, is it? No. Even small houses cost a lot of money. He showed a subdivision with the price of each of these houses. They were in the millions. Wow. We're not going to support them so they can buy a $1 million house. But you know, the fact of the matter is, it costs, folks. And it means that we might have to sacrifice a little. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you sacrificed for the cause of Christ? You sacrificed for the Lord. Let's stand together. We'll have our time of invitation, and then later we will be collecting the faith promise papers. Maybe this morning you would just like to pray and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Maybe you have been praying all week saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Maybe you'd like to pray and say, Lord, there's someone I need to talk to about Christ. Give me the opportunity and the courage to do it. As we have this invitation time, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we would be glad to show you how to come to know the Lord as Savior. The most important decision you will ever make in your life is knowing Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now at this invitation time that the Spirit would move and hearts would be touched and that your will would be done. Lord, we pray for victory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.